the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know. Stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record, but by his blood the Savior crossed and placed it on his robe. Bless, praise God, it's ever clear. let the devil steal my praise. Lord, you have been so good to me, so I'll just come to say I'm overwhelmed by your mercy. I'm amazed by your love. I'm grateful for your goodness that you pour out from above. My life may not be perfect, but it's better, better than I deserve. Oh, my life may not be perfect, but it's better. It's better than I deserve. It's better than I deserve.
True. I ought to be in hell with my back broke. That's where I ought to be. But I ain't. I got it. Yeah, I got it better than I.
Bless you, Gabby.
So everyone, I was talking to Donna earlier this week, and we were just talking about. I was telling her how ungrateful that I could be. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm so ungrateful. You sit back and you go through day by day, and he does stuff for us every day you don't even think about.
Yes, he does.
Like you don't. You don't think about it. You wake up, and you wake up late, and you're in a hurry, and you're rushing out the door. But did you ever think you might not have woken up?
Right.
Like he gives us that breath.
Yes.
That's right. And I'm just overwhelmed by everything that he does.
That's good.
So overwhelmed. And you know, you think from before you got saved, you got saved and look what he did for you.
That's right.
Because it's nothing that I could have done.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. And you look and you really think about the road that you could have went down.
Yeah.
The road you could be healed and the story that you could be living. And if it wasn't for the Lord.
Right, amen.
Just think of where I would be. Yeah.
Amen.
And it's nothing that I didn't tell him.
Yeah.
Because I could have done it. And he's just been so good to me and my family.
That's right.
Bless me with my little family.
Amen.
Like, I just can't believe it. You just, it amazes me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The stuff that if you were 10 years ago, you thought you'd never have.
Right.
And you have it. You have more than what you ever thought you could have.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just can't believe how good he is. Even when I'm not, when I was faithful, he is still faithful.
Right.
And he never changes.
That's right.
Never.
Right.
He's always
the same.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just so thankful that he saved my life.
Praise you, Gabe.
And everything that he's done for me, even when I don't realize it.
Bless you, Gabe. Good. Help yourself. Go ahead.
I just want to stand to thank the Lord for everything he does for me. And I'm overwhelmed. Like this morning, Bill and I got to help with downstairs with the junior church. That's the first time I've ever helped with it. It was amazing. Those kids were great. They're kids. I have to remember sometimes I was a kid too. I know it was a long time ago, but... But I'm so thankful. You know, he never leaves us.
Right.
Not one time. And this week is always hard for me. But I was thinking the night that Cody was killed was a Saturday night. And preacher came and he sat in my living room. And I begged him to go home because I wanted him to be ready for church on Sunday. And he kept going, nope, I'm not ready. How many times have I pushed God away and he wasn't ready either?
Yeah.
I don't ever want to push him away.
Yeah.
I want him right by my side where he's been all my life. He's great. He's wonderful. And there's no one like him.
Yeah. I was thinking about Bear the other day. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, we're preaching on Sunday morning, preaching on the church on Sunday night, and we'll do that for a while, I'm sure. I believe that's all there is, really, the church and home. Christ is the center of all, and of course, it's hard to preach when we know everything, so we're just going to have to just fill in there and preach and endure, I reckon, right? Everybody all right with that? So let's see what the Lord has to say about the church tonight. Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come just now, and again, I stand here thankful that I got it better than what I deserve. My. I think, couldn't help but think of Brother Boyd. That's what he always says when you ask him. And Miss Jean been going through the flint mill, and I believe if you'd still ask them, they'd say they got it better than they deserve. I ask you to help them tonight. The Lord, help me, as Gabby said, help me to be more grateful. Oh, God, you've been too good for me to be nitpicky about this and that and growl and whine and complain. Oh, you've been good to me. Thank you. For saving me, for keeping me, for providing for me, being faithful, for answering prayer. What we just said, answering prayer that we didn't even realize you prayed. That's what Richard said. And Lord, boy, how many times that's true? You've answered. We ain't even had no sense to see you done fixed it. And you're just great in every way. So I praise you for that tonight. Help us as a church. Lord, we need you. We need you as a church tonight. We need you in our homes, in our lives. But Lord, we need you as a church. And I pray that you would strengthen us, help us to be more like you, I pray. In Jesus' name, I'm asking for all this help. Cleanse my mind and my heart. Touch me fresh, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme question, do you remember? I'm going to say it, then I want you to repeat it with me. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Now, when you say that, now we're going to ask you to say it again, but that means every thought, the way you think, about the way you judge, about the way you complain, about the way you whine and murmur. Huh? How about if we all praised the Lord like you do? How about if we all worshiped like you do? How about if we all had the same faith that you have? How about if we all handle the storms the way you handle yours? How about if we all carry the load the way you carry your load? How about if we're always calm like you're calm? Or always angry like you're angry? How about if we're selfish like some? What if we was all giving? I mean, there's many things we can go down the line and just say things forever. So let's ask again and ask it with me tonight. Repeat with me. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Just exactly. I mean, identical. Could we stand it? Would it be great? Would it be great? Would it be on the top tier of churches? Or would it be in the ditch? But see, what we don't understand is the church is just like us. This congregation is just exactly like us. Think about that. That's really discouraging. But it's the truth. We are what we are. We are what we are. But I believe that we can be better. You believe that? I believe we can be better because I believe we can be better Christians than what we are. But we'll not have a better church if we're not better Christians. We're not going to be better Christians if we're not better from the beginning. Just like the home. We're not going to have a better home if we're not better husbands and wives, moms and dads. We're not going to be better. We're not going to be better homes if we're not better children. Right? See, a lot of times you kids forget. Y'all just come here and flop down, but you're as responsible if you're saved. You young people, if you've been saved, you're just as responsible as I am. Yeah. And you're just as accountable as I am. There's no age limit on accountability. Huh? You think about that. So, if you have a nonchalant attitude, what if we all had that attitude? If you're worldly in your true beliefs, what if we was all worldly? Huh? But maybe you're filled with the Spirit. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we was all like you and filled with the Spirit? Wouldn't that be great? See, we can't just look at the negative. We need to look at the positive too. But again, let's say it again. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Let's look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and let's see what we can find, if we can find a great church. Maybe a recipe for a great church, huh? The recipe for a great church. And see if we can find. There's some things I believe that's vitally important, and I believe it's laid out very simply here in the Bible. And if we'll look at it, and maybe we can see where we fall short, we're not going to be trying to be negative or positive. We're just going to preach what the Bible says and ask as we go along. And where we don't measure up, you think maybe we could swallow enough pride to repent and do better? I think maybe we could. I believe there's a lot at stake.
Yes, sir.
I believe there's a lot at stake. This week, I want you to think about some other things. This week is our 250th anniversary for the independence of our country, and I hope you think about that this week. I'd like for you to, it would be good. Everybody likes to look at their phone. Won't you look up some history on the Revolutionary War and who signed the Declaration of Independence and what happened to their families and what they give up that we might be Christians. You know, it'd be good. It'd be good if you would do that, to see the men that that signed the Declaration of Independence, that lost all their homes, their riches, lost their families, lost their lives, put in jail, suffered, died young. And these were all people, or I should say the most part, they were under 25 years old. For the most part. Young men. Wasn't old men. Now, there were some old ones that fought, sure, but they was the young men that took a stand. And that just, well, we'll talk more about that as the week goes on. But let's look here at Acts and think about a great church, the recipe for a great church, okay? Recipe for a great church. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. When we think about the church, we go back to Pentecost, and we see how the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they were filled, it says there in Acts chapter 2, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, everybody understand that? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Can we read it just for a moment? Let's look here in Acts chapter 2, where we'll go back to Acts 4 in just a moment. But let's look here in Acts chapter 2. We're thinking about the church. Now we're thinking about the people. We are the church. We're the body of Christ. We're a congregation of the body of Christ. One body, one head. Christ is the head. One body of every born-again believer worldwide. All right, but we're a local congregation, a local church established for meeting with a body of baptized believers, membership in one family. That's all we are, all right? No big I's or little U's. That's just all we are tonight. And Acts chapter 2 says, let's start at verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We're talking about the recipe for a great church, okay? Day of Pentecost, that was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were, what's that next word? All filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Let's turn back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And let's look at verse 31. Now we're talking about the early church here. Everybody understand me? Let's look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were, what's that next word? all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now that's what the practice of the early church was, before we see how great it became, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Filled. Not indwelled. Every believer is indwelled. But these believers were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Alright? Now, let's start with our text tonight, and we're going to see if we can find something here. Verse 32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed," speaking of the church. Now, we're speaking of around two sermons, 8,000, thereabout. Some credit the First Church of Jerusalem having 10,000. I've read where some say the First Church of Jerusalem had around 100,000 members. I don't know. The Palum, though I know. There's a multitude. How many's in a multitude? Anybody know how many's in a multitude? How many's in a multitude, Rick? It's Palum, ain't it? That's all I know. It's a Palum. Right? Everybody okay? So the multitude of them that believed were of, say it with me, one heart. Say it with me again, and of. Think about that. That was the whole bunch. The whole bunch were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. He wasn't saying, "Looky what I got." They wasn't thinking no Bertha better than used or perfect Percy's or anything like that. It was just all, they just all believers. That's what they were. All right. Verse 33 then says, and maybe we can find the first ingredient of a great church. It says, "And with what great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." That's the first thing that we need tonight, is great power. The first recipe or the first ingredient of a great church is not the size of the building. It's not the size of the congregation. It's not how many talents we have and how many people can sing and how many preachers is in it and all the activities that we do. All of that's wonderful and great, but that is not the mark of a great church. The mark of a great church is one that has great power. And a great power is the power of the Holy Ghost of God, because it demonstrated, because all the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and it ought to take upon us a responsibility to live as if we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God on a consistent basis, not in a once in a lifetime thing, but that we live consistently with the power of the Holy Ghost residing in our heart. That we do have that abiding, that we are abiding in Christ, abiding in His Word, but that we are filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And the church had great power. Great power. That's what it says. Great power. Now, it wasn't just any kind of power, but it was Holy Ghost power.
Right.
Amen.
All right. You notice it didn't say great knowledge.
Right.
Great power.
Yeah.
Notice it didn't say great ability. It said great power. Huh? Notice it didn't say great notability. Great power. Huh? And it's power that's not ours. It's power that's God. It says, "And with great power." Now, with that power comes something that we're lacking. And that's witnessing power. Now, we're busy, and we got a lot of activity around here. A lot of activity. And we include the witnessing when we get them. We make sure they're taught. We make sure they're preached to. We'll have and schedule activities so we can schedule preaching, so we can schedule teaching. But when it comes to witnessing by the believer, by all the believers, by witnessing with our lips and our life, we're lacking becoming a great church, because we don't have the great power demonstrating, because it's demonstrated by a great witness. where it says here, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither said any of them which ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness, they witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you that the world, I believe, will tell you, they might even believe that Jesus died, but we're not spreading the news that he's alive. That he's alive and well. That he gives hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. That he still sets the captives free and still delivers from the prison and still breaks the bonds. That he's alive tonight. It's not just that he died. He did die. Hallelujah that he died in my place. But had he just died, I would be lost. But he rose again and with great power gave he the apostles the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, I never saw him with my eyeballs, but I saw him by the eye of faith as I believed that he died and I believed that he was buried and I believed that he rose again, and I can have the same great power to be part of the great church, to be a witness for my great Savior. And can I tell you that every believer, young people, old people, no matter who they be, every believer is responsible for being a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. With our lips and our life. Huh? Now some will say, well, I can't talk to people. How you living? How you living? If you're bashful and can't talk, how you living? Are you living tight enough that they come by and say, hey, what's different about you? Are you one of them Jesus people?
Amen.
Huh? No, we don't speak it and we don't live it neither. And I believe that's why we're not a great church. Okay? I'm just going to tell you that we're not a great church. We're a church. All right? We got a lot of potential. We got a lot of potential. We've come a long way. Huh? But we're lacking a Spirit-filled membership. We're lacking a Spirit-filled membership. Huh? We're lacking the great power that gives us the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're missing that great power. Huh? Witnessing power. Huh? Power of the Holy Spirit. Then it goes on and says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what? And great grace was upon them all. I believe the second ingredient for a great church is not just great power. Now the reason I can see this and saying it's their greatest is because this is what the early church had. Can you agree to that? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God and they had great power. And then it says, and great grace was upon them, how many? All of them. Great power and great grace was given to all of them. Are we together tonight here? All right. When we talk about this great grace, can I tell you that everything we have, everything was given us.
Yes, right.
Everything. Everything. Undeserving.
Right.
Everything we have. Yeah. At home or at church.
Yes.
Every member, every believer has brought something different into our church.
Right.
Every believer has been that little part of the now I do not have, I've got patience to fiddle with things, but I don't have the patience to work a jigsaw puzzle. Because they all pieces look the same. And my way of fitting them is my pocket knife. And I can cheat doing a jigsaw puzzle, but it'll never look like the picture. Huh? Everybody understand that? But everybody here is different. And what you've added to this body, God give you us. You could have got saved across town. And God gave you to another church. Give you to another congregation. But God allowed you to be a part of this congregation, to be used in the work of this congregation for the glory of God, and it's all by the grace of God. Huh? And that's why everybody's vitally important. Everybody might not speak loud. Everybody might not speak up and hold up their hands and holler hallelujah. You may not, but you're as just the biggest part as everybody else is. And you are a gift to us by the marvelous grace of God. Everything we have is by the grace of God. And great grace was given, that's what it says. And great grace was upon them all. Now this great grace includes a lot of things. It's the whole fullness of God. Is it not? It's saving grace. It's keeping grace. Y'all hearing me? Saving grace and keeping grace, that ought to constitute a hallelujah. Saving grace and keeping grace. Everybody can say amen to that. How about living grace? Huh? We got living grace, ain't we? How about praying grace? He allows us to pray. Answer, Brother Richard, thank you for praying tonight. You taught me something in your prayer. Lord, thank you for answering prayer that I didn't even know you was answering. I ain't going to forget that for a long time. Thank you for answering prayer. I'm not even aware that you're answering. I ain't got enough to sense to know when he answers one or not. Grace. Grace. But can I tell you, a great church has all these things, but they also got dying grace. They also got storm grace. Huh? Great church don't have storm panic. A great church don't have storm panic. They got storm grace. Y'all follow me tonight. See, a great church, if we're not careful, the great church becomes man's church. And when you go on man's power, you gotta have man to get through your problem. You gotta have a buddy. You gotta have a brother. Marcus, I told you here a while back, Marcus was telling, I think I heard him preach it. I don't think he told me, I think he was preaching it. And I heard him on a video maybe, and he said that he could call. There was some people down there at his church and he could call. And he named the preacher, Brother Fowler, and Brother Chad, one of the deacons down there, and another man by the name of John Bradley. He said, I could call them in, and every one of them would gladly drop what they was doing and help me. He said, I could call Dad up at Mount Lookout, and it don't matter what Dad's doing. If I said, Dad, I need you, he would stop immediately, throw everything down and come right straight to Tennessee. He said, but Dad's 3 hours away. And them other guys are miles away. He said, but not the Lord.
Right.
See, if I call on the Lord, he's already there. He don't have to show up.
Right.
Don't ever pray that God shows up.
Right.
If God don't, if God's not there, you're in a bad place.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
And a great church already knows he's there. That great grace, huh? So when the trouble comes, he's already there. And we're not depending upon people. See, sometimes the church gets so big and their self, not necessarily size, but gets the feeling that we got to have so-and-so. Done heard it said, so-and-so ain't here. I wonder who will sing in their place. Well, the preacher ain't here. He's going to preach. I bet someone said, well, I hope it ain't so-and-so. Guarantee it's been said. Because the dependence has went from the great grace of God to the ability of man.
Yeah.
And it ceases to be a great church when it ain't the grace of God that runs the church. It's got to be His grace and His glory and His power. Are you hearing me tonight? The church, it's bad if a church does without anybody. Everybody's important. But if we gotta have everybody, then we're hurting. Because we ain't never gonna have everybody. We ain't never gonna have everybody. There's never been a congregation like this one here tonight.
Right.
Not ever. Has there ever been a congregation like you? Somebody was added or missing. Never one exactly like you. So we better make sure that we're the church that has the great grace of God. Huh? Not to mention dying grace. Huh? I hope you're not afraid to die. If you're afraid to die, you might want to do some checking up. Huh? Now, you may not be as eager as some. Huh? But there should not be no fear. Huh? What is it, Cheryl? Death ain't no big deal. Huh? This ain't no big deal. Are we okay? But so we see great power, great grace. We all right? How about we drop down to chapter 5? Now things are getting pretty good if you continue reading in chapter 4. Verse 34 said that nobody lacked, and many were possessors of land. They brought things, sold things. They was helping. Huh? Yeah, I can't get over. We got some friends here from down there where Pleasant Beach Baptist, where Marcus goes to church. We got a couple here. He's here this morning, back tonight, and we got three of the boys here from Pleasant Beach Baptist Church. You know, and can I tell you, they're a great church. You know, Marcus told us. You know, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around a $549,000 offering on one Sunday. A $549,000 offering on one Sunday. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but where I come from, that's a pile of money. Huh? That's a pile of money. And they took that all up on. And you know what some of them done? Preacher was telling me. I was talking to the preacher down there, you know, when I was down there a couple weeks ago. And the preacher told me, he said, you know, he said, these people here had rental properties, and they sold rental properties, and they sold land, and they sold things, and took the money. And some of them, he said, he didn't ask them to do it. It's just what they, some of them pulled money out of retirements, and they brought in, and they give because they're out of room and building a building. We're going to build a church. Huh? Amazing. It's amazing. And that's what I read right here. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them. You know what it says there? Verse 34. And brought the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to his need. Now, all that was going on. Good things, great things happening. And then something happened. Ananias and Sapphira, they got a little bit out of, a little sideways there. All right? They got a little sideways with the Lord, and they weren't honest. It wasn't the fact that they didn't give; it was they then promised to give and they didn't. It wasn't the fact that they didn't give, because everybody gives as God blesses. But the fact is they lied about giving, and Peter called them on it. The Holy Ghost showed Peter and he called him on it. We okay? Peter said, Ananias, verse 3, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Huh? And you say, well, wait a minute, where's the grade? We're getting to it. We're just trying to get you to see what happened. And Ananias gave up a ghost. In other words, the Lord killed him. Look at verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And look at this next great. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. So we see great power, that's the recipe for a great church. And great grace, that's the recipe for a great church. How about great fear? Huh? Great fear came on all them that heard these things. And then it says they wound him up and carried him off. That's what it says. Yeah. And 3 hours later, here come Sapphira. And Peter asked her, and she lied too. And then she said, verse 10, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up a ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Right? And look at verse 11. And great fear. Yeah, you add a little fear, and then things go, and you add a little bit more fear. Now, why would that be necessary for great fear? Why were they afraid? They were afraid because there was no hesitation on exposing the sin of the church. Can I tell you? We don't like to expose the sin of the church because it hurts feelings. It makes people uncomfortable. But it'll never be a great church if sin is not exposed. It's one thing to preach again, but it needs exposed and stood against. You can't look the other way. Are you hearing me tonight? Great fear. Great fear. When sin was dealt with within the church, you know? See, we become we concentrate on being happy. Everybody wants to come to church and be happy. Am I right? Talk to me. But we don't want to come to church and be holy. We want to be happy. We want to feel good. We don't want to live good. Are you hearing me? We want to feel good so we can do a little ditty and go to the house. But we don't want to live holy. And then when our sin is exposed, when we're called on the carpet, instead of repentance, people leave. They just go somewhere else and hide their sin.
Right. Good,
not remembering that their sin is still where they left it. We're talking about a great church. Yes. Talking about great fear.
Exactly right.
When was the last time you was afraid your sin would be exposed? When's the last time that you was afraid somebody's going to knock on your door and say, "We come talk to you because you can't live like you're living"? You can't do what you've been doing. You can't act like you've been acting because it's sin. Well, it ain't nobody's business. Oh, but it is business. It is the church's business. Because it's the body's business. It's just not popular. And you say, well, that was the apostles doing. Great fear fell. Verse 11 says, and great fear came upon, look at verse 11. And great fear came upon who? All the church. Ain't that amazing? Back in verse 33, it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness, and great grace was upon them all. And now verse 11 says, and fear come upon all. Verse 5 said, and great fear came on all them. A great church will have fear about their sin. A great church will be sorry for their sin. A great church will not put aside their sin. A great church will repent of their sin. I'm not talking about judging people. I'm talking about when people sin openly, it ought to be dealt with openly. If men and women are brazen enough to sin openly, then somebody ought to be brazen enough to call it on the carpet. We're not talking about being self-righteous. We're talking about purging. We're talking about clean. We're talking about great fear. We're talking about being a great church. This is what the first church had. Now, I know a lot of people say, I don't believe all that. Well, it's in there. Great power, great grace, great fear. Okay? But see, fun has replaced fear. Fun has replaced fear. We still okay? How about we flip over to chapter 8? Flip over to chapter 8. And we're talking about a great recipe for a great church. Great power needs great power, great grace, and two scoops of fear. Huh? Scoop of power, scoop of grace, and two scoops of fear. Okay? Are we all right? And then look here at chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, speaking of Stephen. And at that time there was a great, what? Persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. A great persecution. Now, why would they be a great persecution? Because of the godliness in which they were living, because of the exposure of sin in their midst. Huh? They were living godly. How do I know they were living godly? Look in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what it says. And it says here back in Acts chapter 8 verse 1, and there was great persecution against the church who was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. They were persecuted and they were hunted down and they were scattered, and the gospel went out because they were living godly, and they were fearing that their sin was being exposed, and they had great power, they had great grace, they had a great witness of the resurrection of Christ, and the church was moving. It was a great church. The early church was a great church. Great persecution. But we're living in a day where we want to get along. Well, I'm not talking about fighting people, but I'm talking about the reason that there was persecution is because of the stand they took. Somewhere there's got to be a stand against wrong. And if the church stands against wrong, it's going to get persecuted. If a church lives godly, it's going to get persecuted. That's what it says. Those that live godly will suffer. It's not they may suffer, but they will suffer persecution. Huh? And I believe that's missing. Well, you don't want to rock a boat, and you don't want to be too offensive. People will never come. Well, that's not true. That is not true. That is a lie. That is a lie. Because with the great power and with the great grace and with the two scoops of great fear and then with the scoop of great persecution that come from living godly. Listen, if the way you're living is getting along with the world, you're not living for Christ. If it's not upsetting those that lives around you ungodly, then there's a problem. That's why I am not going to have this church sponsor the tractor bar and the parades. That's why I'm not going to support that. I don't care how much money they give to the poor. I'm not going to have no part of the tractor bar. Nor am I going to go down there and hand out tracts during the parade. I'm not going to do that neither. I need to go to their homes before the parade starts.
Yeah.
Amen. We're talking about, and then when that happens, we're not going to get patted on the back in the community. You go witnessing against things and standing against things, they're going to persecute you. That's why mouths are stopped. That's why we don't witness. Because we're scared. There's a man fearing spirit when it comes to witnessing. A man fearing spirit. Because you don't know what they're going to say. Huh? Now, the only thing I know to tell you is things I know. Alright? was on visitation. Right? I was on visitation and knocked on the door. And we was invited in. Me and a man was invited in. And the man was drunk. And the next thing I know, I got a pistol in my belly, cocked in my belly. And my buddy screams and falls over the couch. And I got to figure out real quick what to do with this pistol cocked in my belly. So I stuck my hand between the hammer and where it goes off. I said, well, let me look at that nice looking pistol. See? Sometimes you got to go over what people may do. Are you understanding what the point I'm trying to make? All right. I was about to be persecuted. All right. That pearl handle pistol was going to make a hole in my belly. All right. It was going to make a bigger hole in my back when it come out. All right. My point is, a great church will suffer the persecution. It's more than words. It's more than opinions. But it'll be acts. It'll be acts against the church. Huh? Now, whether people agree or disagree, we're not in that debate tonight, but you see on the news about the Tony Bell and the church in Louisiana. If you've seen it on the news, there was some people crossed from the church. This is one side of the story. The people who cussed and made accusations for years and threatened the church and the church people and made vulgar, seen a video of vulgar gestures. And finally a young man come out, the pastor was working on a bus. And as the man went out there and said, I'm going to rape your wife and rape your children just soon you go down to town to preach and I'm going to kill them. And that was the accusations he made. And some other things went on. And the preacher decided to go across the road to what he went over for, I don't know. But when he got over, the feller swung at him, so the preacher cleaned his clock. And they got arrested. All right. And there were some things that I probably wouldn't have said, or I ain't going to say what I would do. That's not the point. But he had already been suffering persecution for years. Runs 40 buses or so. Forgot how many buses they said they run. All right, down in Louisiana. I believe they might have had a little bit of persecution. You understand what I'm saying? We've had little dabs of it in past, just little dabs of things, but nothing that we can even speak of, because I wonder if we're losing our greatness. All right? We've come to terms with the world. We can't live peaceable with the world. Now, I understand the Bible says to be at peace with all men and much that lieth within you. I know what the Bible says. But the church has become so much like the world. Listen to me. The church has become so much like the world that they're buddies. They're buddies. I have a list. I was given a list of all the organizations that gets donated money from the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I have the list. We're not on it. All right. We're not going to be on it. But there are churches on it. Ain't they be? You can't, what is it, Kim? You can't run with a skunk and smell like a rose, for if you run with a skunk, everybody knows. Huh? And if you don't, great persecution will come. All right? Let's drop down to verse 6, chapter 8. We okay? Acts chapter 8, verse 6, we want to see another. We got a scoop of power, a scoop of grace, two scoops of fear, a scoop of persecution, and now something we love. How about we start at verse 6? And the people with one accord. That's amazing how many times that's in there. Isn't that amazing how many times we've done read that? And the people with one accord, that may be the pan that all this stuff goes in. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed. And by the way, Philip was an evangelist. He was a preaching deacon. Everybody hear me? Y'all hear me? Deacons, y'all hear me? Came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And look at verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. Great joy. Can I tell you that great power and great grace and two scoops of great fear and great persecution will bring great joy in the church? Great joy in the church. They didn't joy in the persecution. They didn't joy in exposure of sin. They joyed in the Lord.
Amen.
And that's, I believe, where we're missing it. See, our joy, you know, all these things, the church produces great joy. But I believe there's a lot in the Bible about joy. But listen to me, our joy depends on what's happening, not what happened. Listen to me. Our joy depends on what's happening, not what happened. Not Christ. Not what he did. Our joy depends on what's happening around us. What I'm going through. How woe is me. How hard it is. How depressing it is. How sad it is. Huh? But it ain't affected the Lord one bit. Because he is our joy. He is our joy. Huh? I love what Nehemiah said. He said, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and don't be sorry about it. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Huh? You know what it said? Now that's paraphrased a little bit, I know. Alright? I didn't quote it exactly right. What he says, eat the sweet, drink, eat the fat, drink the sweet. That's good to me. Huh? I get amen on that, can't I? Then he said, don't be sorry. For the joy of what? The Lord is our strength. Are you hearing me tonight? I believe a great church has great joy. Huh? How about John 15? John 15. We okay? We're just trying to help our church tonight. I'm burdened over Mountain State Baptist Church. I'm burdened over our church. I'm burdened over you that come to this church. I'm burdened with you when you're here. I'm burdened over you when you're gone. I'm burdened about your home. I'm burdened about the happenings around you. Huh? John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken to you that my joy, ain't this Jesus speaking?
Yeah.
That my joy might remain where at? Yeah. And then that your joy might what?
Be
not happenstance. Not happenings. Not situations. Ain't supposed to have no bearing on my joy. Huh? You say, well, Mark, everybody, you just can't help it. Yeah, you can. There's somebody living in you that's bigger than your situations. There's somebody living in you that's bigger than your problems. There's somebody in you that has great grace and great power. Huh? You can. Be okay? And then there's one more. There's one more. So people say, well, if you do that, ain't nobody going to come to church. You know, great power, yeah, we need that. Great grace, yeah, we got to have that. But man, we get that fear now. I have two scoops of fear going to run everybody off. And the persecution, nobody wants to come to church to be persecuted for it. You're going to be. You hang in here long enough. You hang in here long enough, and they're going to ask you to quit coming. You hang in here long enough and they're going to make a law that you don't come. Listen, we've done come through COVID that stopped us. We ain't recovered from COVID and controversy already. Let me say it again. We've not recovered from COVID and controversy already. Because we're not a great church. Huh? We have all the potential to be. But we ain't got it all in the pan yet. We got to get all the ingredients in the pan. Huh? How about Acts chapter 11? Acts chapter 11. And we'll start at verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jew only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Huh? See, when you get that pan out of the oven, huh? There's a great number that'll believe because of a great church. Are you listening to me tonight? See, it ought not be our goal for a number, but we ought to be grateful when the number comes. We warned a few years ago, we warned our church that we better be careful with what we had or we lose it. You remember the warning? Remember the warning? We better be careful with what we have or we'll lose it. And we're watching it trickle through our hands like sand. We're watching it trickle through our hands like sand as we see the power of God diminished. The grace of God held back. The fear of God unrecognizable. The persecution of God is unexistent. The great joy of God is unused. And the great numbers are not here. Talking about a great church. And here's the thing. That every man, woman, boy, and girl has to be great also. That has to be in your person. It's not a lump sum thing. We're all part of the body. And these ingredients will make us great Christians. That'll make us a great church. Think about that. If you're not saved tonight, tonight would be a great night for you to get saved. You know how you get saved? You repent of your sins, understand that you're a sinner, and you receive Christ as your Savior. By faith, you accept what He's done, His finished work. And then if you are saved tonight, my advice is that we repent. We don't need revival. No, we need repentance. We don't need revival. No, we got the Holy Ghost in us. We shouldn't even be having to pray for revival. We ought to be on our face begging God for repentance, forgiveness. Father, all I know to do is do what your word tells us. So Lord, help us to be obedient to your word. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. We'll see you Wednesday night.
We're in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians. On Wednesday night, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll get a complete list from Aunt Dan.